How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Faux Friday, Thursday morning, right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. We're glad you're along for this third day of December 2020. JR, Simmer, and Hammer, and you're waking up to, we'll call it a typical December morning. Not a whole heck of a lot going on. Everything is dry. It's not that warm, although it is going to get up to 4 degrees later on this afternoon. We will have a cloudy day ahead, somewhat windy, 4 degrees tomorrow. Looks like we're back into some rain for the day. And then the weekend outlook, mix of sun and clouds both days with highs around minus 2. And right now we are at minus 1. As we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm good. Ready to rock and roll. Getting a little coffee into me. Getting the energy levels up. And ready to rock and roll.
Okay. All right. You're going to rock and roll twice. The rock and the roll right there. All right.
How you doing?
All set to go. I'm well. I've arrived at work with two sets of car keys today.
Nice.
Not
uh-oh.
My problem. Well, it's an uh-oh, but it's more of an uh-oh for my wife, who will now not have a car to drive to work today.
Because, how is it her fault?
Because she left her keys. She went out last night and took the vehicle. Now, normally I drive the same vehicle and she drives the other one. But she took mine for some reason and left the keys, because one of those ones where you just, the keys don't, there's no ignition, you just push a button.
Yep.
She decided to take the keys out of her purse for some reason and put them into the cup holder.
Yeah.
And so I got into the car this morning. I left. I was 3/4 of the way here. I go to put my little morning drink into the cup holder. It's like, wow, there's something in there. Mm-hmm. And as I'm driving along, I pull out a set of keys, or her keys. So I have two sets of keys and she has no sets of keys.
Yeah. Reality is, as soon as you got in the car, you saw it, but you wanted to teach her a lesson. But nice try on the first time you set your drink in the cup holder 3/4 of the way here.
You know what? Yeah, that's little column A and little column B. No, it is true, the timing when I did see it, but the teaching of the lesson. The problem is, Simmer, my wife will not learn this lesson. Because she would look to me, because I would say to her, like, why, you know, why did you take your keys out of your purse? You always leave them in your purse. And she would look at me and she would go, why are you always on me about, because I'm a bit of a nitpicker, but I'm a details-oriented person.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all about the details. And
really?
So little things like that kind of set me off. Not set me off in a bad way. I just like to give reminders.
Well,
you know? Why would you do that? What are you thinking?
How long have you guys been married?
A long time.
Yeah. To that, you know all the habits. You know all the trends. Nobody's changing anything, and there's nothing bad about it. Hey, be yourself.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah. So we'll have a good laugh. So I will. Hammer, can you remind me to text my wife later?
Who's going to have a good laugh? Did you just say we're going to have a good laugh? Because I don't think she's going to have a good laugh.
Yeah, you know what? She'll just take an Uber. She doesn't have far to go, so she's just got to go to the school on the other side of Kanata. So it's all good. It's all good. It's not a huge deal. But
you're right. There's no defense here, though, so it's all her fault.
Exactly.
I thought I could stick up for it, but there's no chance here.
Yeah.
Why do you take the keys out of your purse? My keys don't leave my coat.
Exactly.
It doesn't need to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. That's my point. But again, I tend to remind her of kind of the little things that she, because I have ways I live my life, and I always think to myself, if other people would just do what I do, everything would run smoothly. But that doesn't seem to pass muster with the rest of my family.
Yeah,
they choose their own path. It's the one less traveled, and usually the one that doesn't work as well.
Yeah. Unless she went someplace dangerous. And when she left, she did the old, hey, key in between the finger trick in case somebody jumps me. Then I'm going to go all stabby.
We live in Kanata. It's not that dangerous.
Okay, so not an excuse.
I think she went to the mall and came home, I think, is what happened last night.
The sales, it can get nasty.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good point.
Gloves off.
Yeah, actually, I think it was to pick up some food. It wasn't even to do any shopping. I think she's done her shopping. Anyway, so that's my adventure for today. So remind me to text my wife later, and she'll have to find her way to work. All right. You guys remember the name Daryl Hannah?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Splash.
Yeah, Splash. Yeah. Of course, the mermaid from Splash. Yeah. She's 60 years old today.
Wow.
60. And I'd forgotten that she's married to Neil Young.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Wow.
For how long have they been married?
I don't know.
Didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Was she in the Steve Martin movie as well?
Yes.
Where he's pretending to date her, or the guy's real shy. Remember that?
And, yes.
She was good looking in that one. Yeah.
She was.
Had the nice flow.
She was not so much good looking in Kill Bill.
No.
But it was a fantastic role, though. She was a nasty villain in Kill Bill.
Well, that's okay, because Neil Young looks like an old leather boot, so I don't think it really matters.
They can age not gracefully together.
Yeah.
I love that from Simmer. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to describe it.
Well, yeah, nowadays, you're just she's an attractive lady.
Aging gracefully.
Yes. A wily veteran.
Let's see here. Ozzy is 72 today. Speaking of people not aging gracefully.
Yeah.
My goodness.
How if I did in 1980s and I said to you that Keith Richards and Ozzy Osbourne will still be alive
what odds
in 2020? No, seriously. Like that is hard to even comprehend. Got to admit, since probably early 80s, and a lot of probably hockey-related, JR, big fan of his music, though. I got to say, when some of his tunes come on, either when, was he Black Sabbath Hammer?
Yes,
yeah, and then solo, Crazy Train, any of that stuff. Yeah, I'm a big Ozzy fan.
Were you into the reality show? The
Ozzy? No. I'm trying to think of any of those shows where I really found. Yeah, no.
I see you as a Real Housewives kind of a guy. There's Real Housewives of Atlanta and Orange County and Long Island.
No, I don't.
That's got Simmer written all over it.
I lived in that
Simmer
U.S.
lived that life.
Material world. I'm really not a fan of it at all. The only thing with the Ozzy show that I did find interesting that is at least in getting to understand or, you know, how to figure out how this dynamic ever worked. I mean, obviously the ladies, Sharon is fairly sharp, right? I mean, to keep this train wreck moving along and for them to have any cash and God, he had tried to kill her on a couple of occasions and, you know, but that was the takeaway
I like the way that just sort of, yeah, he tried to kill her, but anyway.
Well, just you go back to the past. I mean, it is absolutely, and I guess this is the other side for anybody. At some point, you grow up. One of the old Miami Anthony Bourdains that I talked about at the end, he's with Iggy Pop and he's interviewing him and he's all normal now. And if you go back to what Iggy Pop represented, how crazy he was in the 70s, I guess everybody comes out the other side at some point with some maturity.
There you go. Well, you would think so. But Ozzy still has not found that at 72 years
old.
Well,
but you would agree in watching that. I mean, whatever has been done physically, mentally, I mean, that fella's not all there, right? I mean,
no.
His capacity, his motor skills are, they're not firing quite properly at this point.
Sean Parker. You guys know the name Sean Parker?
No.
Sean Parker is 41 years old today. He is the guy that founded Napster.
Okay.
And of course, Justin Timberlake played him in The Social Network, the movie about the founding of Facebook.
Yeah,
Dirty Dude.
Yeah, for sure. I should have remembered that because, that was a big and
greasy guy.
Was a Napster guy. You're right. He certainly was. Do you guys remember, is it El Guardo or the business partner?
I remember him from the movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember him in real life.
No, I'm just saying. That was the guy in that whole movie. Those twins, well, take him or leave him, although they should have got, well, I'd love to see their settlement. But the fellow there that originally funded it, that was a takeaway from all that, is that, you know, he really put, helped finance this whole darn thing and got screwed in the end.
And it's never come out how much he took away in that release deal with Facebook, which makes me believe it was a lot.
Yeah, and it says here, my piece of paper that goes through the birthday says that he is heavily, talking about Sean Parker, heavily invested now in Spotify, which is doing okay.
Yeah,
well, it's losing a lot of money, but they suspect at some point it's going to be worth $100 trillion or whatever. So he appears to be have a bit of a Midas touch when it comes to making money. With these new things. These newfangled things these days.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Follow it from one to the next, and pretty good eye for it.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're celebrating a birthday today, happy birthday to you. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we will get into all of the news of the day. We had a out-of-nowhere Wednesday afternoon NFL game, and you know what? It was like players aren't used to playing on Wednesday afternoons because not a very good football game yesterday between the Steelers and the Ravens. But Pittsburgh comes out with the victory, so we'll talk about that. Mike Tomlin is not very happy with his team, and they did suffer a significant injury as well. So we'll chat all about that. Roger Goodell speaks, the NFL commissioner. Very, very, I won't say confident, but he's very happy with how things have gone so far and is confident enough to think that they're going to not only be able to finish the season, be able to finish the playoffs, but they'd be able to do it the same way they're doing it right now, which is teams playing out of their home stadiums, etc. No bubble. So we'll hear from the NFL commissioner on that. North Dakota begins its college hockey season yesterday with a win. And, of course, they're chock full of Sens prospects. So we'll talk about the debuts of Jake Sanderson and Tyler Cleven and how Shane Pinto and old JBD did. So we'll have that. We'll get you the latest on the NHL. Apparently, Gary Bettman and Donald Fehr are talking again. Where this all leads to, who knows? It's highly speculative, but we'll get into that. A little bit of baseball news and a pretty massive trade in the NBA involving a couple of unhappy superstars. And in one case, a very injured superstar as well. John Wall and Russell Westbrook are swapping unis. So we'll get into all of that when we come back here on a Thursday morning. I was going to call it Wednesday. It's Thursday. See, these NFL games are screwing me up, man. We'll come back with all that next, right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. night game because that was supposed to be the Ravens and the Cowboys. But, of course, the Ravens played yesterday, so you can't really expect them to turn around and play tonight. Although, the way they played yesterday, might as well play tonight because they probably wouldn't stand much of a chance anyway. Regardless, the weekend ahead, and we'll have three games actually into the early part of next week because the Steelers and Ravens games have been pushed to Monday and Tuesday, respectively. Not really. It's a lot of not good teams against teams that are good, so a lot of kind of mismatches. I tell you what, the only game on Sunday that involves two good teams is the Rams and the Cardinals. And then the Monday night game, the original Monday night game, is the Bills and the Niners. And the Niners have actually come on a little bit to the point where they're they got an outside shot at making the playoffs despite all the injuries. And, of course, the Bills have had a great year. But overall, I'll say this weekend's slate of NFL games is not the sexiest.
Yeah, the old, and again, kind of going through the whole fantasy thing, JR, is Cleveland playing Tennessee as well? I thought that that would be at least
that's,
as a
matchup. You know what, you're right.
Matchup.
That's
you know,
a decent one.
And more, I've got the old Chubb fella, how he'll go against that defense. And interesting in the broadcast yesterday, a couple of things. I think a lot of people are really starting to warm up to the Buffalo Bills, right? Starting to kind of look at the whole National Football League and discuss them. And then the other part, and I'll probably use New Orleans as an example for 2 years in a row. Just like in the National Hockey League, man, if you don't have a backup quarterback, like you are toast, right? I mean, how many teams that after the number one guy, including the Ravens, including, well, Denver, I don't know what the hell they have. You know, it's amazing that how many teams have got, hey, you know, all the apples in one basket of either one guy that makes a ton of cash and nobody behind him that's even capable.
Yeah. And how many times do you see a guy who's able to get through an entire year, you know, the starting quarterback, that is, without having to miss, you know, even a little bit of a game, let alone a game or games. You're right. I mean, it is such a difficult, you know, position to have one good guy,
let alone
to have a decent backup.
I mean,
those teams are few and far between that can have their starter go down and say, you know what, we're good to go. We're good to go with our backup.
Yeah, and it would have looked on the surface that for the Cowboys, we'll see how it finishes off. But in signing a guy like Andy Dalton, last year you had Teddy Bridgewater. Now it was $11 million. And I'll use Mahomes as an example, JR. Just the sheer odds of a couple of things. By the time he makes his $40 million, the stress that's put on the rest of the group. Do you lose an offensive lineman? Do you lose a couple of offensive weapons? And at the same time, you got nothing to put behind him. You really get into a situation there where, hey, all of a sudden you're not going to be as good of a team, and he's a little bit older and starts to get banged up, and you're in some trouble.
Yeah. So you are speaking, of course, of the Baltimore Ravens, who had to start RG3 yesterday because Lamar Jackson was out on the COVID-19 reserve list, and we haven't seen a whole lot of RG3 for the past few seasons. Of course, way back in the day as an early draft pick of Washington, and his career started off good, and then he had the really bad knee injury, and he's just never been the same player since. Well, they dusted off old RG3 yesterday. not to very good results.
Ravens need 4 yards to pick up a first down from the 12. RG3 sets, throws, it's intercepted. Third turnover of the game, and it is taken back all the way for a touchdown by Joe Hayden. High Pro Bowl corner picks off Robert Griffin the third and scores to give the Steelers a 6-0 lead.
There's Kenny Albert with the call of the third turnover. So that was an RG3 fumble on a handoff, then a Roethlisberger interception in the Ravens end zone, and then that pick six, which got the scoring started for the Steelers and kind of exemplified the night for RG3 because he goes... Before he got pulled in the fourth quarter, before John Harbaugh said, enough. 7 of 12 for 33 yards and that pick six. Now, he did run for 88 yards, had some good runs,
but
cannot pass the ball. And again, there's just not a whole lot of in between players that weren't able to play and just players that they don't have. The Ravens don't have a whole lot on the offensive side of the ball, and you put a backup quarterback in there. The results were as we expected
would be. Yeah, and it was, I guess, fun in some hand, you know, some side to watch. At least I'd say more of the Steelers' defense. On the Ravens' side, it was really about the Steelers' inability to catch the football. Some humor in that. And RG3, hey, he's never been able to pass the ball, and that's an issue if you want to be a quarterback. And to the call there, so our good friend Kenny is, I'm assuming, doing the radio yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah. So another sliding in there, hey?
Oh, yeah.
Always want to keep busy.
You got some
work
for me?
Hey?
Yes, exactly. I don't know if he was actually at the game or calling it off off tube somewhere.
Yeah.
But anyway, from the Pittsburgh point of view, a win, so they're 11-0, but an unhappy head coach.
It was really junior varsity, to be quite honest with you, and it was in all three phases. We couldn't run the ball effectively when we needed to. We dropped too many significant passes, very catchable, makeable passes. We didn't make significant plays in the special teams game. Our kickoff coverage unit wasn't good enough. We turned the damn ball over. We gave up big plays in critical moments on defense. Can't have it.
You had some red zone failures and a number of drop passes. What do you attribute that to? Anything in particular?
Us sucking.
Which is one of the quotes of the year. That's so awesome for Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, you almost, sir, at this point, JR, first of all, I think you want to eliminate the unbeaten season, personally, because I don't think anybody cares. They want to win a Super Bowl. What you want is you want to get your ass whipped at least one time the rest of the way here. Just, you want one of those moments where you can throw it down, because as much as you're upset, you still ended up beating the team. Now, they should have, you could argue, maybe beat them by more, but it just feels like with the Steelers, when that storyline's there, hey, they've navigated their way through, would you agree, a decent schedule, right? They got the Bills in the future. It hasn't been very good, and you a false sense of where you really stack up in the league.
Well, exactly. If you look at who the Steelers have beaten, now they've beaten the Ravens twice. Now, that's an extremely shorthanded Ravens team they played yesterday, and they beat them earlier in the year. They've really only had one tough opponent. I'm trying to remember who it is now. And it was the Titans. And some favorable calls in that game. Other than that, their schedule is littered with, the Eagles, victory of the Eagles. They barely beat the Cowboys. Yeah, they've had Jacksonville, Cincinnati. They beat Cleveland, which is better.
Yeah, for sure. The Bills game on the schedule, I don't know what week that is. That's two weeks from now. Oh, is it? That'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. But the remaining schedule, by record, is the ninth easiest schedule with five games remaining. So they'll play the Washington football team on Monday, which is getting a little bit better.
Yeah.
Then that game at the Bills, I think that's the Sunday night game, by the way.
Nice.
So a primetime game. Then they're at the Bengals. No, of course, no Joe Burrow any longer in Cincinnati. Then they're home to the Colts. And Indy's been up and down, but they're a decent team. And then they're at the Browns, which, again, that's a good rivalry game. Browns are better. But overall, it's not a daunting schedule ahead. And can you find a loss? Well, you'd look at that. The odds makers would say probably the only game they won't be favored in of those five is the game at the Bills. And if they aren't favored, it's probably going to be pretty close to a pick 'em. I'll say there's a decent chance. At some point to go 16-0 in a regular season. You need to be playing unbelievably well. You need to get lucky as far as injuries go, be it short term and long term. Chances are at some point you're going to stumble. Is there a stumbling game? Is there a loss in the five games that are ahead for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Or are we looking at the first team since, I guess, the Patriots, to go unbeaten in the regular season?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's different. I mean, part of the factor back then is how much everybody hated the Patriots. But that, at the time, JR, just took on a life of its own, right? And I'm not saying it fired up the Giants in the Super Bowl, but it just felt like it was like, hey, listen, let's just get a loss here. Like, honestly, and I think for Ben Roethlisberger and Tomlin, anybody else, at least at this point, being unbeaten, that's a nice team record. But as he said, it's all about the Lombardi. That's all he's looking at.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, and usually when we see teams that are unbeaten this long into the schedule, and Indianapolis under Peyton Manning, right, there were a few years where they would start 12 and 13 and 0 they were so far ahead of the pack, it was kind of like, well, we've got everything clinched, so they would end up sitting guys at the end of the year and they would lose games. The thing that's going on with Pittsburgh right now is, though, despite the fact they're 11-0, they're looking over their shoulder. Objects in the rearview mirror are closer than they appear. Hello, Kansas City, sitting at 10-1 right now. Like, the Chiefs are only one game back, and don't forget, only one team in the expanded playoffs this year in each conference gets the bye, and we know how important the bye is after a long season. First of all, you play one less game, you get an extra week off to rest up from injuries and just overall just being beat up. So getting that bye is hugely important. So Pittsburgh will, if they have to, if Kansas City keeps winning, they'll want to keep playing their guys to try to make sure they get first place overall.
And not that it's the same factor, JR, although, again, if they're going to stick to the plan that the commissioner talked about yesterday and play in the home stadiums, I do think being home is at least a comfort level. In the case of the Steelers, not with Kansas City, but whoever has to come through you on the way to the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay at least has to come into Pittsburgh. And, hey, we're right into here early December and the rest of the way here. We're going to get some games where it's going to be a little nasty. I mean, it even looked a whole lot colder there than it was here in Ottawa yesterday watching the game.
So the Steelers are the first team since 2015 Carolina Panthers. I have no memory of the Panthers being 11-0, but that would have been the year, I guess, they went to the Super Bowl against the Broncos. the year that Cam Newton was the MVP.
Oh, okay.
But it's the first year in 5 years we've had a team go this late into the season at 11-0. But that's where the Steelers are. And again, they've got the Washington football team in a rescheduled game. Originally it was supposed to be Sunday, will now be played Monday at 5 o'clock. And for the Ravens, well, they're going to get some players back. They were down 9 starters for that game yesterday, 9 on the COVID reserve list, including Lamar Jackson. They're going to get a number of them hopefully back for their next game, which is Tuesday against Dallas. But right now, the Ravens have lost 3 in a row. They're 6-5, and they're on the outside looking in. They're a game out of the last wild card spot, and so they're going to have to find a way to string together some wins. Otherwise, this will be a very, very disappointing season after an unbelievable regular season last year, and then, of course, the big upset in the first round of the playoffs versus the Titans.
Yeah, and other takeaway from yesterday, certainly a valiant effort by the Ravens on the defensive side of the ball. Watching Fitzpatrick play, JR, on the defensive side, there's always been good players, and you turn on watch a Ray Lewis back in the day. It's incredible to me to watch certain guys that can be so athletic and so dominant in reading plays. That touchdown he broke up in the end zone that almost was a layup for the Ravens. Boy, it's fun to watch some of these guys that, like I said, to just kind of survey the field, and they just seem to be all over the place, and they're always around the ball.
Yeah, gave up 2 first-round draft picks for him to Miami, but looks like he's been well worth it, Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
So Roger Goodell did a wide-ranging interview yesterday with various media, and he was on the NBC football on the game broadcast yesterday as well. There has been lots of talk potentially about the NFL going into a bubble for the playoffs, if they can get through the rest of the regular season. He used the term remarkable achievement, did Roger Goodell, about how his league has been able to get to the point it has so far without having to postpone any games. They've had to move some games around, but no games have been postponed so far. And he doesn't think, if things continue the way they are, that they're going to have to go into a bubble, that they should be able to do what they're doing right now. A lot of questions, of course, about what went on this past weekend with the Baltimore game being postponed, pushed back 4 times, eventually being played yesterday, whereas the Denver Broncos, who didn't have a quarterback, were down all 4 of their quarterbacks and had to play a practice squad wide receiver at quarterback, why they had to play on Sunday and didn't have their game pushed back, or were given, you know, something along the lines of what the Ravens got. Here's the NFL commissioner's explanation for the difference between the Broncos and the Ravens.
In the Baltimore case, we were concerned with the containment. Absent a medical issue, we're going to play the games. And that we gave each club additional flexibility with respect to their roster size and flexibility of moving people off of the reserve list and back onto the active roster. And that was to make sure that the games were played. On the other hand, we want to make sure that we're preventing the spread of the virus. And that's why when we see a high-risk close contact like we had in Denver, regardless of the position group, we're going to make sure that those players aren't in a position where they can infect others, whether they're on their own team or whether they're on the opposing team. Obviously, our objective is to finish 256 games safely.
Damn the torpedoes. We're going to play the games come hell or high water. Here's the thing I go back to. You know, this whole Ravens situation, as far as, I've been able to ascertain and read, all started when the strength and conditioning coach, right, had players in there and were not masked up for that.
Yeah.
That's where the infection spread wildly through that team. And yet they are allowed to postpone games. And did they have roster flexibility? Absolutely they did. Were they down 9 starters for the game yesterday and still had to play their game? Yes. Yes, they did. But they were still allowed, there was an allowance of them to delay their game, whereas the Denver Broncos had, 3 quarterbacks, went into the quarterback room with the other quarterback, the third stringer, who ended up being positive. Well, under the rules, those players are not allowed to play. Okay, I get that. But to me, the circumstances are somewhat similar. So I don't get why Baltimore kind of Denver gets the short end of the stick.
Yeah, and I just don't even understand. I'm trying to picture behind the scenes, JR. So what, the 4 quarterbacks never talk to anybody else in the facility? What, do they go into a special room? They have their own entrance? I would love to get a little camera time and see what's really happening in these facilities. There's no consistency there whatsoever, in my estimation. At the same time, just from a quality control, it was a bad look for the National Football League, right? I mean, hey, I don't have any quarterbacks here. Give us a little bit of a delay here. Give us some time to either find somebody or be able to get one of these guys off of the COVID list.
Yeah. So anyway, we're through 12 weeks, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And by the way, congratulate. We've got a three-way tie in our football pick'em pool. So we've got to go through it, make sure we do all the math on who our tiebreaker winner is. But Lowe's linebackers, Dig Deep and Juice, all with 24 out of 26 points.
Wow.
This past week in our football pick'em pool. So congratulations. We will do all the math and be in touch with our weekly winner coming up early next week. All right. And, of course, that person will win our weekly grand prize of $150 gift certificate from the Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar. So let's look at the TSN 1200 guys, see how they did on their picks.
We always know where this is going, Hammer. Right?
Absolutely.
Let's look at the top of the list here. I appeared to have 21 this past week,
nice.
Actually tied with Matty Vowles.
Oh, Falconer.
Who I remain just 1 point behind in the overall bragging rights for the entire season. So, Hammer, not bad. You're at 20. 21 for
nice.
Me, 20
not
for
bad.
You.
One behind you.
Very good, very yeah. good. Let's yeah. look back here. We got Team Beard. That's Bunda. Nothing but a G thing. I don't even know. Who is that, by the way?
I've got no idea.
Okay, all right. Somebody from our station. We're not sure who they are. Lloydie, okay, with a 17.
Where's Simmer?
Minshew Mania. That's Creed. She's at 50. Oh, there's Simmer. Simmer at 14. Simmer.
Huh? Did you forget to pick some games?
No, he's still feeling the wrath of me eliminating him from the fantasy. He's trying to show me up. Hey, I get it. That feels like it. When you mention that, then I'm scrambling. Usually I make my picks by Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yes.
Talk about confusion now.
Make your picks.
The league just said, well, at least there's no Thursday night game. So,
no.
Got a couple of days here to get it done.
Here's a good reminder. Yes, the next week's picks this week, week 13 picks are already online at tsn1200.ca. We'd love you to take part. If you haven't played before, doesn't matter. It's a new game every week. It's absolutely free to play, and we pick games straight up. There's no lines or anything like that. And if you get more right than anybody else, you win that $150 gift card from the Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar. I would say well worth it. All right, we'll take a break at 6:40. When we come back, there's a little bit of interest in a U.S. college hockey game yesterday involving the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. And, of course, chock full of Sens draft picks. Their first game was yesterday. We'll tell you how they did, how everybody looked as far as the draft picks go. We'll get into that. The latest on the NHL talks, such as they are. We'll get into all of that when we return here on a Thursday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Heck of a lot going on in the old curling world. And, of course, we have world champions living in or at least representing our city in the Rachel Holman rink. Rachel lives in Edmonton now, but Emma Miskew, her third and her longtime teammate, still lives here in Ottawa, works here. Well, their team, their sport has been on pause. But back in the news this week with the announcement that curling, like a lot of other sports, is going to go into a bubble for its national championships, and in the case of the men's worlds, as well, going into a bubble, all in Calgary. So what is life like when you normally are on the road every single week, making money and et cetera, as a curler? We're going to talk to Emma Miskew, the third in Team Holman, coming up a little bit later on this morning as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure anybody on the team, JR, missing the aspect, missing the paycheck, I would say nice for the curlers, as at least the majority assumption is, have a side career, right, where it's not all of a sudden you're sitting on the sidelines, don't have a paycheck coming in, but certainly nice there, that added income, depending on how good your team ends up being.
Yeah, and the whole thing is, right, we've got an Olympics coming up in... When is the next Winter Olympics?
2022. So February. So, yeah. You know,
so
14 months away, 15
right. so
months.
Yeah. Normally by yeah. now, we would be getting into these various spiels that are pretty much every weekend, the big cash spiels. They're also qualifiers as far as getting to the Olympic curling trials. Remember the Olympic curling trials here in Ottawa in 2017, the last time?
Yeah.
Well, they haven't had many of these events, right? So in terms of teams that are going to qualify for the Olympic curling trials, which I believe are somewhere out west, I think in December of next year, a year from now.
Yeah.
How is that all going to work? Like, the whole sport is in a state of flux.
Yeah.
Like all sports.
Yeah. Was it last March, JR? Was there an event going to be in BC or in Vancouver, a curling event? I thought that was one of, I'm trying to remember back now. It seems like a million years ago. I thought that was one of the first events that we started to kind of wonder, well, how are people going to travel in? BC had been hit pretty hard by COVID. So, hey, whether it's national, international events, had a lot of effects here.
Well, and I know that they have tried to get, I know there's been, I think, maybe a couple of smaller events that have either happened in their entirety or at least got started. I think Rachel Holman's rink, I think they were in a big spiel somewhere in Alberta where they played one game and then they had to call the thing again because either somebody tested positive. I have to look into the details of that, but that's been you know, the type of year it's been in all sports, but in particular in curling. So look forward to getting caught up with her. She's a good friend of the show.
And, hey, the sport's certainly very athletic. You see how fit everybody is, and when you're doing the old brooming there. But would you, what are you sweeping?
When you're doing the brooming.
Listen to me, sweeping, okay? Listen.
Listen, just why don't you just slag the sport like you did last time? And Rachel, his dad is a big listener to the show. Okay, and he called you out on social media.
I grew up watching Ed Wernick or whatever.
The wrench. Just go with the wrench.
But it, could you play this whole sport with Mass on Jer?
That was a question. You know, as I was thinking this morning about questions I want to ask her, that is one of them. I think they had come up, I want to say they'd also come up with rules where normally you have two people sweeping. I think part of the rules were that only one person could sweep.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So they have had to change the rules. And so, it was sweeping with a mask, absolutely. You got, you know, people yelling instructions. Well, you're not supposed to yell because that increases the potential of a spread.
Okay.
So all of that stuff is all interesting.
Yeah.
Part of the conversation we'll have with Emma coming up a little bit later on this morning. All right, 6:48. So if you're a Sens fan, and of course, in lieu of the team actually being on the ice and looking like it's going to be on the ice anytime soon, it's really all about prospects that are on the ice somehow, somewhere. And in terms of high-end prospects, four of them are playing for the North Dakota Fighting Hawks, and they started their U.S. college hockey season yesterday. They're playing in a bubble tournament in a pod down in Omaha, Nebraska, taking on Miami of Ohio. So North Dakota was the number one ranked team last year. Miami was the last team in the conference last year. So it set itself up as a bit of a mismatch. Well, we're into period two. This game is scoreless.
This isn't not lack of execution, just a little rusty.
Kirsten up top in the back of the net. Matt Kirsten on the power play. North Dakota on the board for the first time in the new campaign.
This is just a one-timer. It's a good pass by Pinto right into the wheelhouse.
Like I got it. I will get into it in just a second. I don't want to get off track here. All right, but yes, Pinto, Shane Pinto, of course, and second round pick was the player to set up that power play goal by. He's a senior defenseman. He's a college free agent, Matt Kirstead. A lot of people think that he's going to get a contract at the end of this year, but that was the opening goal of the game set up by Pinto. Well, he sets up. He has the primary assist on the other goal in the game yesterday as well, scored by a freshman by the name of Reese Gaber, who was all over the ice in that game yesterday. So Pinto gets two assists on both the goals. North Dakota wins the game 2-0.
Yeah, and as a right shot off the left side, both of them, one stationary, one entering the zone, some sweet sauce and some nice hands for Pinto. So a real nice start. I logged the game up on my phone. My buddy Mikey Bergeron, whose brother coaches Miami of Ohio, gave me a little app here to go on and watch. Tried for a few minutes, JR, but from the distance of the video and just trying to do it on the phone, I was like, hey, I'm excited about this, but in the case of...
Couldn't do it, eh?
Well, for Sanderson in particular, and it was just a few shifts. I don't know what my expectations were, other than him being basically Bobby Orr. I said, you know what? just I'm just going to wait till the World Junior. The kid's 18 years old, and he hasn't played forever. No. I want to see him against his peer group.
That the Brad Berry, the coach at North Dakota, said, just think about a mix of Miro Heiskanen and Ryan McDonough.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
wasn't that itself.
And then the one clip that was put out there was the announcer talking about how this is why they've got him, or they're so excited about him.
Stick lift, little puck in the feet up to the stick, move it along to the winger.
Well, no. This play, all he did was reverse it to his D partner, and I was like,
well, okay. That was after he stripped the puck, though, from the guy.
Well, yeah.
But it was a nice little play.
It was, exactly.
That was the extent.
I wanted him dominating. I just wanted him having the biscuit everywhere, just lugging it, doing whatever he wanted, skating circles, going around the team twice. But as I say, that level of hockey is very good, JR. Haven't played for a while. And the big part, if you ever go watch there, is, again, there's 23, 24-year-old, the Gerby or whatever fella you mentioned. What is he, a 21-year-old freshman?
Yes.
I mean, you know, you don't, it's a
Gaber.
It's a lot for an 18, not many 18-year-olds play at that level.
Yeah. So I would say, I watched the second and third period of the game. First of all, the game is shot from, it's a great presentation, by the way. The announcers are really good. You know, it's, you know, the camera work is fine. It's all that other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But the way it's shot, and it must be, I've never been. Have you been to the rink in Omaha, Nebraska before? Have you scouted there?
No, never been. That, so they, anyway, they had a U.S. junior, or they were in the USHL for years, didn't have a college team.
Yeah, the camera is kind of way up high. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of great for scouts, but if you don't know the players, and until you kind of get used to, like when you watch it, when you watch the Sens, you watch them every night, right? You don't even have to see the numbers. You kind of know by the way the guys skate.
Oh, you know all the body, everything.
The look of their helmet or whatever. Sure. You can kind of tell who's who.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've seen, you know, most of these guys play. It's kind of like, well, he's a left shot. I know he's a left shot. He's, and there's three of the Sens draft picks are defensemen.
Yeah.
Bernard Docker is a righty, so that's a little bit easier. But Clevin and Sanderson, the two picks they made this past year, are both lefties. But I will say that Sanderson... he didn't do a whole heck of a lot in the game yesterday. Yeah. It was just just had a game. It wasn't good. Wasn't bad. It was a first game for a college player at 18.
Exactly.
So Clevin, though,
Cliff had a big
Cliff Clavin, as you've dubbed him. Man, first shift of the game, he goes out and absolutely wallops some guy coming in after he got a shot off. Then the puck kind of turns over, goes the other way. He sort of chases after it. He misses it. But then runs into another guy and runs him over. So he is a big, big boy. He is. He's got all kinds of size to him.
Yeah.
You know, the big thing is going to be, and this is the very first time I've seen him play.
Yeah.
All right. The big thing for him is going to be, is just refining the skating,
which
big player is going to. He's not a bad skater.
No,
fact,
he's not. No,
well.
That's what I was looking at, JR, because I didn't know what to expect. And that hit. Anybody that watches Borowiecki or any of the guys that really know how to hit. It's just when the winger gets to the bottom of the zone, just as they're about to make their pivot to kind of come around you, they've just gotten back on their heels, and that's where you're able to really kind of unleash and throw the guy, and that's what he was able to do right there.
Yeah, so he hit the first guy, and then, again, as he kind of overskated the puck a little bit in the neutral zone, defenseman kind of steps up, and that was just a... I'm just bigger than you. And he wasn't even looking at him. He just ran into him backwards and knocked that guy flying as well. So that was a bit of a coming out party. And I know that there's some video out there. Some people going, look at the size. Look at it. Lock up this monster.
Yeah.
So he's a big, big boy. And I know there was some criticism among some of the draft nicks out there of the Sens. And again, it's only one game in. But you see the enticement of the size of that player. And again, and he's got a mean streak. Pierre McGuire has talked a lot about this player before. He's an American kid. So the size is there. The mean streak is there. It's a little bit of a question of, two things. Is the skating going to get to a pretty good level? It's decent, but needs to get better. But he's 18, and you can teach skating. And the other part is, is there any sense of an offensive, just a semblance of just average as far as with the puck on the stick.
Yeah, and usually for those bigger guys, JR, skating when straight ahead is fine. It's working on your pivot, your mobility, your gap control. And what you're also trying to look, and this was the case when Yarosh came over, JR, you look at the package and you see a guy, hey, this guy is big, he can skate, he likes to be physical. You wanted a point to basically be able to program the player to be reliable. And that's unfortunately for Yarosh has not been able to do, right? So it's a little bit of guiding, and an assumption is based on his style. If he ever gets to the National Hockey League, you say, I just want it simple. And you certainly, that physical element, even more so come playoff time, right? We still see where all of a sudden things open up. And cross-checking in the crease is all of a sudden allowed, like it's old box across.
Yeah. It's two kinds of hockey, regular season NHL and playoff NHL. And if the NHL is going, and, through the officiating, is going to continue the way they have, big boys are still going to have a place, especially come playoff time. So I think, and again, first time I've ever seen the kid, project always makes it seem like it's a terrible player to me. So he's not a project, but this is a long-term investment. This is not a guy who's a one and done stepping into the NHL next season. This is a guy who's going to need two or three seasons probably of college hockey and then probably a season or two. So if I had to guess right now, if this kid, Clevin, ever makes the NHL and the Sens, we're looking at 3 or 4 years down the road.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, hey, you're in a great program. Also, a couple of things for college hockey, and I think Hammer pointed out, assuming by the angle, JR, they're playing on the 2x100. I mean, that looked like a massive sheet there, and some of the schools out west do. Also, with the cages on, not that this guy's not a rambunctious player, but there certainly are players. That ability, and I don't say fearless, but at times it can be football on ice, where it is a different element when you got the full cage on.
Yeah, Hammer and I were talking. I think that was regulation ice.
Oh, was it? Okay. To me, it looked huge. But
it looked huge.
I thought it looked huge. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought it looked huge.
Some of the schools, and I don't know this one.
I'm looking on my little Chrome there, my Google Chrome that's 13 inches, and I'm going, So I'm not looking on the biggest screen.
Okay. Well, I was like Simmer. Yeah. I was watching on my phone while making dinner, and just the camera. I'm like, this just looked like the players had a lot of space.
It's a weird camera angle too,
and it looked like Olympic hockey, right? Yeah, not a lot of body checking.
And I've never really understood that in leagues. Sweden still has that, where some play on the big sheet, some play on hybrid. I don't know if they have NHL style, but out west, same thing. And actually, I shouldn't say that. Out east, the UNH, a lot of the ECAC schools, JR, would take the smaller players, play on the big sheet. I just find the discrepancy of Colorado College was the same thing. Nobody on Colorado College could be over 5'8", and they would just buzz all over the place. And then you bring in these monster teams from the other ones, and certainly a little trouble for them when they get on the small sheet.
So North Dakota wins the game. Again, they had the puck most of the night. The final shots was 29-9 after two periods and 39-19. Yeah. It's a little hard as well when you're kind of assessing things when the quality of the competition. And I thought Miami played okay, but North Dakota was by far the better team. They will get a large step up in terms of caliber of competition tomorrow because they play the University of Denver. Tomorrow night does North Dakota.
Yeah, DU's always had a good program. And for Miami of Ohio, Mr. Bergeron just come back.
He's from Ottawa? Bergeron?
Yeah, okay. And played at Miami of Ohio, coached at Bowling Green, now has gone back. So you're rebuilding. And usually the idea is, obviously, your first class is your freshman class. You got to get to basically year four before you judge it. But in talking to Mikey yesterday, kind of cool, a Miami of Ohio alumni, Brian Savage's son, has committed to going there. So that's pretty cool. Imagine if you played with a guy, which they were teammates back in the day, and next thing you know, you've got a son playing for you. That's when you know you're getting up
getting
there, JR.
Old. Yes, exactly. All right, so you had a little bit of an update through on social media yesterday about our friend Mr. Stützle.
Yeah.
Who, of course, everybody's wondering where he is in terms of the recovery.
Yeah,
we know
exactly.
that the surgery from mid-October seemed to go well. All
for
indications
sure,
are that the timetable of 6 to 8 week recovery was on track. So what's the update?
Yeah, and this is just from sources. I can't tell you who.
And we'll call them heavy early.
Exactly. Basically, he is very close to 100%. He's practicing with the big boys. He's got the yellow jersey on. On December 6th, in a couple of days, JR, he will go to the World Junior Team for Germany. They're having their camp down in Füssen, Germany. Very nice place for Coffee Kuchen, if you've ever been, JR. It's down in the Black Forest area.
I have not been there.
Yeah, very nice schnitzel as well. Strong beer all over Germany.
Yep.
He will do that. But what the interesting news is, the plan is that he's going to go play in the World Junior. Then he's coming to Ottawa.
Which makes sense, right? Because he'll be in quarantine.
Exactly.
Can travel from Edmonton to Ottawa.
And not a big deal. Still no release yet and still not a contract signed, but that seems like nothing more than a formality. So that's the news on Mr. Stützle. And we'll see him here probably by early January.
Yeah. So all the teams that are coming from, everywhere outside of Canada all have to be here. They're all going to be arriving around the 10th or the 11th to Edmonton because they have to quarantine for 2 weeks, right? So, or at least be into the bubble at that point. So we'll see him and the German team and all the other teams arriving in Edmonton in the next week or so. Although, man alive, the case count in Alberta is very concerning, and I know that Hockey Canada has been in contact with the federal government, with the feds on health and the province in Alberta as well. But Alberta is really—they're talking about building field hospitals now. That's how big the outbreak is in Alberta, and of course that's where the World Juniors is. And I just wonder, in the back of my mind, if there could be some kind of late plug pulled on this, given just what's going on in Alberta right now.
Yeah, no, and then that's where I said, JR, though, and then again, I'm not saying that it's easy to put together, but I'm not selling any tickets. I mean, if you ever decided, hey, going to take over the Brook Street Hotel and the Holiday Inn, I'm going to move it to Ottawa, get the cameras for TSN, not easy, but I at least thought as a week ago, would you be looking at something like that? Now, we can also say, last year when the NBA went to Florida, of all places, we're thinking, jeepers, my God, you're going to the heart of Florida here. This is the worst place on the planet.
And they'll have them locked down.
Well, exactly. Exactly. But it also, I guess, in the spirit of it, does take away from it in a sense of, when it's basically like you're in this little bubble and you're living this life, and when you see what is happening to the general public, I don't want to use the term in poor taste, but I know there's other countries in the world would just say, hey, maybe this isn't the time to be putting something on right now. We should just be focusing on our own city. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely. So something to keep our eye on. And of course, Team Canada itself remains in quarantine. In Red Deer, I think their 14 days are up, I believe, this coming weekend as well. But they're not going to be able to get any exhibition games in. They still got all 46 players.
Yeah.
Some of them, there were two scrimmages Some players arrived late. Some and were, you know, still waiting to. So they're gonna. They're basically gonna make the team based on those. You know the. You know what their scouting report said, and based on those two scrimmages. That's
But and I know that's been discussed here. First of all, they were gonna cut 14 guys. I'll be honest with you, both having attended the camp and as a player and going through it. First of all, you got 10 returnees. You knew who probably 15 of your players were, and I've heard people saying they're going through scouting reports and looking at data in the past. Come on. First of all, the coach knows the guys from the OHL. They had a bunch of the guys last year. They've had guys at camp. It's not going to be that difficult. Just the question is, just the sheer numbers of what do you want to end up bringing?
Yeah,
to the bubble?
I guess my point would be, and I'll use Ridley Greig, the Sens draft pick, right? Who would have been? We would say probably would have had to have played himself onto the team
for sure.
Well, unfortunately for him, he gets COVID just before the camp starts, so he doesn't get there. He just gets the camp when they have to shut everything down. Well, he's got no opportunity. So he is going to have to, you know, if he's going to make the team, which seems like a long shot at this point, he's going to have to make it based on, you know, the video that he put out last year playing in the playoffs or playing out in the Western League.
No, and it is a great point. And probably for Andre Tournier, if I know a guy from the OHL or I got a couple of my own players, I'm going to take them anyway. And you think back to the story that Pierre McGuire always brings up about Corey Perry playing himself. And we have seen that for sure where, hey, guys are right on the bubble. You get to the final exhibition game, and I think they had six games planned against.
Yep.
I wonder now also, will you keep extended numbers so you can have a viable scrimmage in your own group too, right?
In terms of the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, like have a little something here where, you know, if I cut down to 14 down to 32,
right,
can't really do a whole lot scrimmage-wise.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you don't have to officially declare your team until, I think, the opening day of the tournament, right? So, and they are going to be allowed, all teams are going to be allowed to carry two extra players this year. So 14 forwards, 8 defensemen, and I believe 3 goaltenders as well, in case, the rules of the World Juniors is, if you test positive for COVID, you're out of the tournament. It's only 2 weeks anyway, and if it's a 2-week quarantine.
No, for sure.
But if you test positive, you're out. So they want to make sure all the teams have enough players.
And also decision on that as far as numbers, JR. Kenny was talking. You can't have more than 25, but the traveling party for each country is 40 people. That's what you have
to. So that includes staff.
It's almost like, you know, and hey, listen, bud. You know what? It was between you and the third massage therapist. Sorry, we're going with the massage guy, who's also helping the coaches.
kind of like the minor hockey rule, huh? Who's got the best-looking mom?
Then you also have the equipment manager, which is actually the equipment manager now in hockey is in charge of the people that actually do the work. Like, I'm in charge of people. I no longer do anything. I'm just in charge of telling them what to do.
Crazy. All right. Anyway, much more on that. And, of course, we are the home of the World Junior Hockey Championships. Looking forward to it. We'll have the two Canadian exhibition games coming up. I believe it's the 19th and the 21st. And, of course, the tournament begins on Christmas Day. And Team Canada's first game versus Timmy Stützle in Germany will go on Boxing Day. We'll take a break. A little past 7 o'clock. Get you the latest news. Run down the scoreboard, including details on the Steelers' win over the Ravens. And come back with more here for Thursday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.